Back to open session. Item 7, presentation of alternative investment fees and expense report. Good morning, Mr. Price.
Sure, I'll give a quick introduction. This is the annual regulatory required report that outlines fees paid from all of our alternative investments. So in our case, that's private equity, private credit, private real estate, and private infrastructure. This has been in place since about 2017. It's an annual report out. It gets into a little bit more granularity than we typically do in terms of carried interest paid, which is just netted out of the net asset value, and some of the consulting fees paid between the GP and the underlying portfolio companies. So this is, it is required reporting. We view this as somewhat useful, but not directly pertinent to our underwriting process, but this is our report out. We did add some additional trending reports or trending graphs at the end of this so you can kind of see how things are moving over the course of a couple of years. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian and Greg to actually present the core of the report.
All right. Thank you. Brian and Greg, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Tim. As Tim mentioned, this is Cicera's annual requirement on alternative investment fees. As you can see from the report that actually gets filed, it is a lot of line items and a lot of numbers that no one can probably really get a good sense of what's going on there. So this year, what we decided to do is put together some summary pages to sort of put those numbers into context and make them a little bit more understandable. So if you look at just the bottom table that details kind of calendar years 21, 22, and 23. So the column that's 2023 is really the subtotals of those pages 3 to 10 that's the actual report. So that really subtotals that 2023 report. You can see in total, Cicera paid roughly $33.8 million in fees. That was an increase from 22 of approximately $9 million. And you can see the increases came within real estate and private equity. Completely understandable as we've been very active in making commitments to both real estate and private equity over the last several years. We are underweight across our private investments, and we continue to make those commitments. Management fees are charged on commitments. So as we increase our commitments, it's understandable that our management fees are increasing. I think the one important thing to note is overall our fees are well within staff's expectations. There's no really outliers here. I think a takeaway would be that the next several years we can probably expect increasing fees as far as dollar amounts as we continue to make commitments to the private investment portfolio. If we just turn the page, and this is carried interest. So carried interest is really performance fees that the general partners charge to us. And those carried interests are typically charged when exits are made. So it's realized, and then that's when the GPs realize their carried interest. As you can see from 2023, carried interest in total was about $1.4 million. That was a decrease from last year's of about $4.5 million. Big reason for the decrease in carry year over year has been just a little bit more of a depressed exit environment for the private managers. The exits haven't come to the extent that they were coming years past, so that carried interest decreased. We would expect in conversations with our managers that the exit environment is opening up a bit, so we would expect to see more carried interest paid as we move forward. And then the final page that we have here is just sort of management fee from a basis point perspective. You can see the top chart in total, we're paying a little under 60 basis points in total management fees across private markets. And like I mentioned in my earlier comments, it's well within staff's expectations, and we do not have any concerns with the management fees or expenses that we're paying. And at this point, I can take any questions that anyone might have.
I had a question. when Verus reports our quarterly investment results, net of fees, with respect to these items in the alternative investment buckets, these are those fees, right, that are netted out for purposes of their report?
That's correct.
Okay. And is there any time lag in that in terms of how that works when, so if they're reporting on X quarter and, yeah, I see Scott walking up, you know, what I'm trying to figure out is there a general match in terms of the fee or is there a lag?
So I just want to clarify your statement. So private markets investments are reported net of fees across, whether it's gross or fee performance of the fund and net of fee performance of the fund, right? So the IRRs that you see are the underlying fund fees are taken out. All those, you know, the carry, the investment management fees, those are, it's all reported net of fees. So the return that you see is the return, that's what you get and can spend. That's just how private markets are reported.
Okay.
And so gross of fee performance for your fund is net of fee performance for private markets.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, Scott. Any other questions? Yes, Mike.
I seem to remember in a previous presentation that someone asked if we could have another column installed in this report that would show the management fees as a percentage as opposed to an amount. Because, you know, for me to, like you said, to look through these over and over and over, I'd like to be able to see what each one of the percentages for each one. I can then, you know, determine for myself, does this look excessive or is it really a good deal? Is that something that can be done?
So in terms of basis points, that's the top chart there. You're seeing that asset class by asset class and basis points in percentage terms. So 2021, for example, real estate, you see it just over 40 basis points, 0.4% of the management fees there.
Well, I know, but that's cumulative. That's overall for everything. I'm talking about for each individual manager. You have this chart. All I need is another column right alongside the value and with a percentage in it. So I can look at that, immediately tell what that percentage of the fee is to the amount that we paid.
So you're asking Trustee Sloan is to add a column in the actual report that gets submitted.
You know, it would be, you know, probably right after the management fees. Then right after that, it would show a percentage. Because you got the management fee and then the total amount, just the percentage of those two. Seemed like you could have an algorithm that snapped that out really quickly.
Or if perhaps there's a standard fee across, like a 2 and 20 for private equity or something like that, if that's the standard that you usually pay, at least to say this reflects our 2 and 20, unless you are able to negotiate lower fees for an investment, then that would be good to highlight also.
Yeah, I think we can go through and do a manage. My only hesitancy is sometimes the commitment capital, the committed capital number gets adjusted over time as capital gets returned, and we just need to make sure we're capturing the actual level of commitment, but in general, it shouldn't be a problem.
I think that would be helpful, especially for me.
Yeah.
No, it's a very good suggestion. I wondered when you asked that question if there was any kind of advantage, disadvantage circumstance in the marketplace. In other words, if you're looking at percentage of fees paid on a particular specific investment, does that hamper the negotiation in a later discussion on fees?
No,
or help?
We're already disclosing the actual dollars. Anybody can do the math. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Any other questions, thoughts?
You know, so the chart you just had up, management fees as a percentage of total value, can you talk to the variability of something like real estate fees year over year? You know, it seems like it would be a little bit more stable.
Yeah. So we noticed that a little bit of an outlier in real estate from 22 to 23. I think overall it really is several of our real estate managers are sort of out of their investment period, out of their extension periods, and actually are not charging management fees anymore.
So we have some managers that are not even charging management fees. And then also denominator from 21 to or from 22 to 23. Denominator in 22 was lower. So real estate NAV was lower. It's increased now at 23, so we have sort of a bigger denominator. Bigger denominator and somewhat less management fees being charged. Therefore, the overall fee is sort of dropped down. We would expect it over time as we can sort of get a stabilized allocation that those fees will be more measured over periods of time. But as we continue to make sort of commitments and some of our older vintages, those management fees are dropping out. We might see some anomalies like this.
So over time, do you expect to see management fees
stable-ish, changing with pacing, maybe, and then exactly. The variability you'd see on the carry side?
Exactly.
And just Jay, you'll recall, like going into COVID, we had been light for a couple of years on private equity. Going when COVID came, we said we're going to pause on real estate, and that's why you saw that gap there. We weren't doing active commitments, so our legacy ones were kind of falling off the management fees, and we weren't bringing new ones online until that 22-23 time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Not seeing any. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.